We're back for another Inside the U podcast. You can visit the website insidetheu.com, follow us on Twitter at Inside the U, or email the show insidetheupodcast@gmail.com. I'm Christopher Stock, here with David Lake. In this episode, we're going to talk about recruiting. It's obviously a big time right now, and David, we got a chance to see a number of top kids from South Florida over the weekend. First off, we've been doing this for a while now, going to see this event. It's such a good thing to see guys. Can you explain exactly what this is, and for people that don't know what this event's all about?
So it's basically, it's a referee clinic for referees in high school, college level, even referees looking to go from college level to the NFL. And what they do is they fly in all these referees from around the country. I mean, it's probably between 100 to 200 referees, maybe even more. And what they do is they bring NFL referees to this event, and they kind of watch them do their thing, and they coach them up, give them some pointers that can help them be better referees. And part of that is inviting, anywhere from 35 to 50 high schools in South Florida on a Friday and a Saturday, and they just play quick little two-hour games, two-hour scrimmages. So it's good for those schools to get in work, and it helps the referees out. And you get some pretty good matchups at this event. And as always, with anything that happens in South Florida, you get some big-time players that show up there too.
And it's definitely good. It's just another opportunity for teams to go against other teams. You know, right now they're busy with spring ball and whatnot. And, you know, it's just another opportunity. And David, I know we were a little disappointed that, you know, so many of the top guys were busy with track competitions, and we didn't get to see everyone we would have liked. But still, you know, plenty of good guys. I want to ask you, let's just start off. Obviously, there's the receiver in the corners and whatnot in South Florida. But I want to ask you about the Dillard guys, the defensive linemen, and kind of your impressions of them. And obviously, you know, anytime you talk about defensive linemen with where Miami's at in recruiting and what they need on their team, especially local guys, these guys are going to be big targets and big names to know.
Yeah, so Dillard was at this event, and they have a guy who's committed to Miami already, defensive tackle Jonathan Ford, and then they have a big defensive end target, Jordan Wright, who's more of a rangy, lanky, quick, athletic defensive end who's still kind of learning football, to be honest. He's also a basketball recruit. He says he has offers from FIU and Virginia Tech in basketball as a small forward. Getting back to Jonathan Ford, the Miami commit, I was impressed by him. He was better than I expected. He's pretty much all you can ask for in a defensive tackle prospect. I think he's right there on the level as any of the top defensive tackles that are in the state this year. He's all of 6'5". He said he's up to 275 pounds, and he plays with a lot of energy and effort at this event, which is pretty much all you want to see from a defensive tackle. Just play with a lot of effort. And he did that. He kind of reminds me a lot of like a less athletic RJ McIntosh, who we saw at the same event 2 years ago when he was with Cardinal Gibbons. So it's that kind of build. Ford needs to still gain weight. He needs to reshape his body and gain weight, which will come when he gets in a college program. But I think overall, he's a very good take for Miami at defensive tackle, which it's hard to find guys at that position in South Florida.
And obviously those two guys are big into, big target. I guess you spoke with Jordan. Just kind of where does Miami stand with him?
Yeah, so Jordan, I think Miami's right there. That week he just picked up a Alabama offer. So they were certainly on his mind. I'm not sure if he's necessarily a plan A type target for Alabama, but they visited his school for a spring practice and watched him and liked what they saw. So certainly that's an indication that more big time offers are going to come. I think right now I would say Miami maybe leads. He said he's going to visit Miami this Friday coming up. So maybe something good can happen on that visit, or maybe Miami can just kind of cement themselves in the lead. But he's certainly a guy that Miami wants. Coach Kuligowski, I know, is very high on him. So he's a guy that is all about what he can be. He's very long. He's athletic, but he's very raw at this point. So he's going to take some time when he gets into the college program, but once he's molded and shaped, he could be a very good player.
So David, when we're watching this, you know, when we watch the games, you know, you watch a field and you watch certain players, and there's a few guys on each team to kind of watch. But then you get to Southridge, and they've got a team full of talent. I think they're, if they're not the state contenders at 8A, they're definitely a team to watch. There's a lot of talent on the team. And when I watch them, you know, David, it's both sides of the ball, and the guys jump out at you in terms of their physical abilities and things like that. And obviously it's a program that Miami is going to recruit, you know, with Billy Gibson there at safety. And, you know, Bentavious Thompson, those guys are already committed. Rodney Scott, you know, we didn't get a chance to see him. And then, you know, Jaquarius Wiggins, you know, a 2018 kid. So plenty of guys, and then they have other guys on top of that. Was there something that stood out to you when watching Southridge?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it. But really, they have someone who's going to play Division I football at every position, really. I mean, they just have a guy who's a college-level player at some level, at every position, which is very impressive, very hard to do at the high school level. And yeah, I mean, I would say if they can get their offense ironed out, they're going to probably be the favorite to win a state title. Their defense is as good as it gets, really, on the high school level. They're all fast guys. They all like to play downhill, and they're all a very physical bunch. So, I mean, there's certainly schools that will contend with them. I know Flanagan's in the discussion. Columbus is always there at 8A. So yeah, I mean, but Southridge, I would say right now is the favorite to win 8A.
You know, and for those that don't know, Billy Roll, former Northwestern coach, is the head coach over there. So he's got another crop of guys trying to win a state title there. I just want to start with Billy Gibson, David, and he jumps out because, you know, he's the lowest rated commit on Miami's current 2017 class. And, you know, with those three-star guys, you're kind of wondering, can they play or not? But, David, we saw him, and we both were impressed by him. He made a nice interception. He tackles in the box. He's around the ball a lot. You know, he's a 6'1 safety, and he looks like – I'd like to see him more. You know, I want to see more of him, and definitely will do that. But from what I saw there at the event, I liked what I saw, and I think he's looks like he's got a chance to be a good player.
The thing I like about Billy is he fits what they want to do on defense within Manny Diaz's scheme once they start getting the guys in who fit what Manny Diaz wants to do. Manny wants to have one of his safeties be like kind of an in-the-box type safety. He likes to have that guy, and Billy Gibson fits that mold perfectly because, like you said, he seeks out contact. He's very, very, very physical, loves to play downhill. He's almost, I mean, he plays that role right now for Southridge. He's basically another linebacker. Does he need to improve his coverage? Sure. But that'll come. And, you know, like you said, I want to see more of him. I think he might be a little underrated right now. But certainly I like how physical he is, how willing he is to tackle. And, yeah, I mean, I think Miami has a good player there.
And with that, you know, on the flip side is Bentavious Thompson. He's a guy that we've seen quite a bit just at a young age because of what he was doing at Killian. He's over at Southridge now and a running back that's committed. And, you know, people know him, and he, you know, he showed early, you know, he can be a productive player. I think when we watch it, you just want to see – I just feel like you want to see more from him. So I'm curious to see what kind of season he's going to have. And obviously being on a good team and, you know, he'll be expected to lead them. But – I'm curious to see how his season goes, and I think I just kind of usually come away when I watch him. I just kind of want a little bit more from him.
Yeah, I mean, Bentavious is a between-the-tackle runner. He's good for 5 yards. But honestly, I would like to see, at the high school level, I'd like to see more of a home run ability, more of an ability to make a big play, make big touchdown runs, which if you're a big-time running back, I don't think that's too much to ask at the high school level. You know, Miami is hanging on to him. I know Florida's making a push for him at running back with their class. And really, Bentavious might become a wanted man here in the next, you know, between now and signing day, because it's really not the strongest running back class this year in South Florida. It's really not a very deep group, not a lot of elite guys, really. So Bentavious, Miami is going to, if they want him, if they really want him, they're going to have to fight some schools off to keep him.
And one thing, you know, although I said, you know, I'd like to see more of him, one thing that you can't take away from him is how hard he runs. You know, you talk about between the tackles, he runs hard. He initiates contact as a running back. You know, there was a play in the game, in one of the games that, you know, he's going to the sideline. And, you know, especially in something like this where it's not even a, it's not even during the season. And, you know, you think it looked like he just stepped out of bounds like most, maybe most running backs would do. But he turned up field and maybe got a couple extra yards, but just he didn't back down from tacklers. And I think if you're talking about skills that he has that you like, that's definitely something.
I just think Miami needs more, needs to bring in explosive backs. And is Bentavious necessarily an explosive back? I don't think so. He's a good back for what he does, but I'd like to see them get some more explosive type backs who can break some long runs.
Were there other guys on Southridge that you want to talk about before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I like Sean Davis, the cornerback.
Sure.
You know, he really it looked like he was really working on his press coverage in the scrimmage we watched, and really it was impressive. His technique was pretty on point. He covered Deerfield receiver Jerry Judy a little bit before Judy got hurt. Judy got a little nicked up in the scrimmage and didn't participate in the whole thing against Southridge. But yeah, I mean, I think Sean Davis is a very, he's a corner that, that Miami has to get. You got to get those top guys that are in Dade County. Right now they're battling Florida to get him, and Florida probably has the early lead at this point. But Miami's right there, and he knows that really Miami's depth chart is favorable. And if he goes there, there's a very good chance he could play right away and maybe even start.
David, cornerback is such a big position, and it's too bad they can't bring in guys immediately for this season because Miami needs corners this year. But that, you know, they're going to need them next year too. So where do you see the class right now with corners? And you think there's some help on the way or guys that they're in on that – could potentially add to the class, add to the team, and help the program?
Yeah, so I think right now their corner targets are still really the three or four guys that they kind of targeted early in March or so. So it's guys like Sean Davis, Chris Henderson, who they have committed already right now, Latavius Breeny, and then Marco Wilson at American Heritage Plantation. So right now, those are kind of their top four guys at this point. And yeah, I mean, I think they'll go through the summer with those guys still as their top targets and see how it shakes out with the summer. And if they feel like they're still in it, they're going to still push for those guys. If not, then they'll go after some new guys that, you know, they're still talking to a lot of corners, Plan B guys, Plan C guys. And so if it's looking like that top first group is not interested in Miami, they'll move on to the other guys. But yeah, I mean, I think they start with those, that local group, which I agree with. Miami should never really leave South Florida to get their corners. And, you know, they'll see how it looks through the summer with those guys.
There's some other, you know, obviously a key position. And you mentioned, we talked about a little bit with Thompson as an offensive playmaker. Another one that we saw was Kevon Dingle out of Carroll City, the wide receiver that's committed to UM. You know, I had a chance to talk to him, and I know Nate talked to him recently. And for those wondering, Nate will be on the next podcast. We'll definitely catch up with him. He's got a lot of recruiting knowledge, especially on a more national scale of how Miami's doing. So we'll definitely catch up with Nate. But, you know, with Kevon Dingle, David, I know you're very high on him. And one thing that we saw in the scrimmage is one reason why you like him. He made a nice play. I want to say it was about 20-yard touchdown, and just leaped over a corner and caught the ball at its highest point. And I talked to him about that, and he's like, you know, that's his confidence level, and just feels like anytime the ball's up in the air, that's what he does. So he was a confident guy. He knows it seems like he knows he still has work to do. And you know, former UM assistant coach and UF assistant coach and standout receiver Aubrey Hill is the head coach at Carroll City. So you're hoping, you know, Aubrey's intellect at wide receiver will help Dingle develop. And just why are you so high on him? And I know just kind of when we talk, David, it seems like you're even higher on him than maybe most people.
Yeah, I mean, I 24/7 rates him as a 4-star, which I agree with. I think the other recruiting services kind of look at him as a 3-star. But I kind of look at Kayvon Dingle as like a smaller Leonard Hankerson. Hankerson was 6'3", definitely bigger, definitely, you know, a little more weight to him, whereas Dingle's more 6'1", 190, 195. But the thing that they're similar with is they're very good tracking the ball in the air. They're very good at high pointing the ball. And then they're also very physical runners after the catch. So Leonard was tough for defensive backs to tackle once he did make those catches and turn up field. And Dingle's kind of the same way. He will fight for those extra yards. They're not burners, but they're just very good receivers if you throw the ball in their area and give them a chance to make the catch. Chances are Dingle's going to make that catch.
I think it's very important. We talked about corners so much, but receiver, Miami needs receivers as well. You know, Stacey Coley's career is about over, and, you know, other guys have got to step up. And I know they're bringing in Amon Richards, for example. But, yeah, they've got to get receivers in this class as well. And, yeah, it looks like Dingle, assuming he stays in the class, is going to be someone that can help them in the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think Dingle might not be an immediate impact guy, but he's a guy who will be good, you know, maybe sophomore year, junior year, senior year. He's going to be a guy who's going to be a contributor. He was the leading receiver in Dade County last year, which Miami should always get those guys if the measurables check out. And he averaged close to 30 yards a catch. So he showed he can be a big play receiver at Carroll City, who plays in, you know, one of the toughest districts in the country, really, with the competition they face. So he's definitely a proven player in my mind.
David, who else at the event there, the scrimmages, kind of stood out to you, or maybe a guy that you would like to talk about, just kind of when we go through the list? And there were so many teams, and the thing is about the scrimmages, it was multiple fields, and teams would be on one half of the field, and then other teams would be on the other half, and there would just be offense would just take reps after reps after reps, and then they would switch after a certain amount of reps. So it wasn't a true game sense, but, you know, they just got plenty of reps, and it was, again, so many teams, and it was good because some of these teams won't see each other in the fall, and so it was kind of interesting matchups just to see them go against each other.
Well, we saw Jerry Jeudy play a little bit. His team played in two scrimmages. We watched more of the Southridge one before he got hurt. But yeah, I mean, Jerry was his typical self, really. He kind of struggles with consistency. You see the high upside at times. Like we saw a nice jump ball catch he made in the end zone for a touchdown. But then we also saw a drop, pretty easy drop touchdown pass. That would have been a big gain, big touchdown for his team. So with Jeudy, you definitely see the upside. He's very smooth receiver. He knows how to create space between him and the corner. He doesn't have extreme top-end speed, but he's fast enough. And he's a good all-around receiver. Do I think he's as good as he's necessarily ranked? I would say no. But he's still a good receiver that's a take for Miami for sure. For instance, like, I feel like Amon Richards is a better player than Jerry Jeudy is. But Jeudy is ranked higher at this point than Amon ever was during the recruiting process. But don't get me wrong, Jeudy is still a take for Miami. Jeudy should be a take for Miami. They need to get guys like him at this point. But yeah, I mean, in terms of recruiting too, I would say Alabama is definitely the leader, and Miami has a ways to go if they're ever going to catch up or pass Alabama.
Yeah, it was interesting kind of talking to some guys, and you kept hearing Alabama, you know, obviously with what they've done, David. I mean, everyone knows what Alabama's done on a national scale, but kids in South Florida too, you know. Alabama's had some success down here, and these top kids are kind of hearing from Alabama, and they're going to listen. So it was kind of interesting a little bit just to hear Alabama mentioned the last those couple of days.
Yeah, I think, too, maybe it's a little unfair expectations for Jeudy because Alabama certainly pulled some big-time receivers out of South Florida with Amari Cooper and Calvin Ridley. And Jeudy is good in his own right, but I don't think he's close to their level necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, it does speak volumes when Alabama wants you at receiver, and Jeudy is good, but I don't know if he's necessarily on that level.
You know, one of the things with – you know, why recruiting is such a big deal, David, and we've talked about it, but with Coach Mark Richt, you know, now the head coach of Miami, you know, when we talked about what was some, you know, in the previous podcast, what we saw in the spring, and they seem to kind of, you know, they seem on top of things. They definitely do. And we just kind of look around and maybe the personnel is not quite there, but it really is. It really feels like, and it usually does, but it really does feel like it's going to come down with recruiting, because it feels like he's going to develop them. They're going to be put in the right spots to be successful. He's going to be able to win games and all that stuff. It's just a matter of getting the guys. And what are you seeing so far in this first full year? I mean, we saw a little bit of what Mark could bring to the table, but you know how it is when guys get hired. It's a little bit of a scramble the last few months and trying to make it work and make an impact. But this is his first full class, and what do you see from the class right now? There's obviously a number of commits, and some of them are from Al Goldenstadt, but right now they're sitting at 14 commits. And what are you seeing with him? And also guys that maybe that aren't committed, but just how do you think Mark is making an impact in the recruiting, maybe some big time guys?
Well, one thing we touched on, I think, after signing day that still holds true is he's not really taking reaches. So he's taking guys who belong at Miami, which is not something that was happening in previous regimes. Mark Richt is getting the guys. Now he just has to land some of the elite guys. So, and we talked about this at the scrimmage, Chris, like, I firmly believe that you win games with elite talent. You got to get the top end of the guys that are available in South Florida. And, you know, those are the guys that are going to take things until signing day. So if Miami shows signs during the season that it's a place that's on the rise and would be fun to come in at the ground level with Mark Richt, then they'll get some of those guys. In terms of evaluating this class now, I think it's a little early, because really the two positions I'm looking at that they need to really address and get some guys who can make an impact are corner, and I want to see them land some offensive tackles. So I like two of their offensive tackles that they got right now. Donaldson, I think, is a very good player. He might be a right tackle, might be a guard, but he's a very good offensive lineman. And then I know Miami likes their Iowa offensive line commit that they just recently took, Zach Dykstra. He had an offer from Iowa. And it's just rare for those guys to leave the state. It's kind of a breeding ground for offensive linemen, and Miami's excited about what he can bring to the table.
I think too, David, kind of going back to your statement about the elite level guys, I think that's so important, because you that's the difference between, you know, your average teams or good teams to great, is what are guys at the top doing, you know? And I think you've seen that at Miami, the difference between the great players and then just the kind of the solid good ones, you know? And I think that needs to be the focus. And I think the previous staff that was so focused on, you know, this bottom 20 and the bottom 20 guys and getting them to be great. And I think that's all well and good, I guess. But I think you've got to win with stars and your best players. And it's about getting good players and obviously developing. But I think that needs to be the focal point. So it should be exciting for fans at Miami. And obviously things haven't gone as well as a lot of people would have liked in the past 10 years. But there's top level guys down here. So they pop up all the time. So, and when they do, you got to grab them. It's as simple as that. And clearly it's competitive down here. It's not easy, but it's also, you have benefits. You have a program that most of these guys grew up rooting for. And that'll be the challenge that Mark Richt and his staff will have to address. And there's something else too with Mark that I'm curious to see, because we kept seeing it in previous staffs, David, with the way college football works, and there's so many positions, you know, and guys go in and out of the program, you know, so it's very rare for you to have everything set at every position.
Sure.
What I think is going to be the challenge for Mark, and we'll see how it goes, but when there's a need at certain positions, how will he address it? I don't know how many years we kept hearing how Miami needed defensive tackles and defensive linemen, and the previous staff never they couldn't fill those issues. And you just didn't see that with previous staffs at Miami. When it came up to have a time where, okay, we've got to hit on defensive tackles, well, then you fill it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's something that Mark has to do, and I assume it won't be an issue. But it's something to watch. And like you said, we mentioned certain key positions of need. It'll be interesting to see how it goes and if they address those needs, because when you don't do it, it adds up and then adds up to another year, and you're constantly playing catch up. And then while you're, like, for example, while you're still looking for defensive tackles, now corners pop up or these other positions pop up. So when they pop up, you've got to address them sooner the better, or else you're going to find yourself in trouble.
I mean, we keep saying it, but they need corners. And really, I mean, if there's any graduate transfer corners out there this summer, Miami needs to go scoop them up, because they need them for this season, not only next season. They need them this year too. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Let's judge this class with how they fill their cornerback need, because it's a huge need right now. They don't have depth or the talent that they need there. And going back to kind of what we were saying about elite talent, Miami does need to get more elite guys, but yes, they also do need to raise the floor. You know, they do need to raise the bottom 10 to 20 guys that are on the roster too. So yeah, I mean, they certainly have a ways to go. And one thing I want to touch on too, and this might be a little harsh, but an example of just elite talent trying to get elite talent is, so Miami, was it 2 or 3 years ago now? Miami took Joseph Yearby. Florida State gets Dalvin Cook. Now, Joseph Yearby is a good player in his own right. He's good, but Dalvin is great. Dalvin's one of the best in the country. And really, for Miami to get back to being Miami, that's the standard. You got to get those Dalvin Cook-type talents. Not to say that Joseph Yearby doesn't belong at Miami. He does. He's definitely good enough to play at Miami. But really, Miami needs to get back to getting those Dalvin Cook-type players.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. And that's clearly what we saw in high school. It's like, you know, there was so much talk, and I don't know if we want to get into a podcast just about this again, but, you know, we always had Dalvin. And David, I remember, it's interesting you bring it up, because I always remember it was a sophomore year, we're watching Yearby run for over 2,000 yards that year, and Dalvin's at 1,000, and everyone was about Joe, and you're like, no, I think Dalvin's going to end up being better. And sure enough, that's just what it is, you know, and there's a difference, but that's the different level. Like, yes, Joe has been good and solid, and I know he ran for 1,000 yards last year, and a solid back, and he had a very productive high school career, but I don't think there's anybody that would say that there's a difference now, or that they're the same now. There's a big difference, and again, like you said, those are the elite guys. We'll see what happens with Mark Richt and how things go, and we'll keep doing these podcasts. Like I said, we're going to bring Nate Adelson on. We'll talk some national recruiting in the near future, because I know that's such a big deal too. And people that follow the site, you know, they hear the names, and Nate does such a good job of keeping a strong database with it and whatnot. So, David, I think we're done here. Appreciate everyone for listening. Again, we want to keep doing these things and keep listening and subscribe to the podcast and sharing it and all that. It's something that we just want to do for you guys. And thanks again for listening, David. Good talking to you.
Yeah, it was fun.
See you.
Bye.